This text is called to our attention this Lord's Day. It's the first verse of our epistle lesson for the day from Galatians chapter 6, where it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." Do you know what kind of people are allowed at the communion rail here on Sunday morning? Did you see that member of ours down at the bar? Have you heard that one of our members was seen around town with another man other than their husband? Why doesn't Pastor do something about that? Have the elders forgotten their job? Isn't someone going to do something? Well, in reality, Pastor is usually the last one to know when someone is getting involved in something questionable. And truth be told, usually the elders haven't heard either. You know who usually hears about it first? You do. You saw it. You heard it. You know it. Because you are their family member. You are their co-worker. You go to school with them. And so what are you to do when you are the first one to know, or at least one of the first ones? Should you email Pastor with the details? Should you call the elders immediately? Should you tell other people at church? No, no, and definitely not. You see, our text for the day tells us what we are to do. What we are to do when we see a brother or sister in Christ falling into sin. It says this, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Yes, that is what each of us is called to do. When you become aware of someone's sin, you should not begin to spread the news, but rather you should go to that individual and speak to them. You who are spiritual should restore them with a gentle spirit. And why exactly should we do this? Well, ultimately, it's not to make sure that our church looks good in the community. It's not because we are so outraged by their sins. It's not because we want to be applauded for our efforts. But rather, if this task is done with sincerity, it is done for the very person who needs it most. It is done for that person who is falling into sin. Could you stand by and watch someone take their hand and place it onto a hot burner? Could you stand by and watch as someone lays down on active railroad tracks? Could you remain silent as someone took that last deep breath and prepared to jump? Well, that's exactly the kind of thing that happens. Each and every time that one of us sees someone falling into sin and does nothing. It's what happens when we just sit back and are disgusted by what other people are doing rather than talking to them about it. It's what is going on when we sit back and wonder why someone else doesn't stop these people from doing what they're doing. For you see, in the most real sense possible, when a Christian person is falling into sin, that sin is leading them away from God and step by step closer to their ultimate demise. They are walking out of the light and back into the darkness. They are leaving behind life and exchanging it for death. One of the greatest reasons that there is so much sin around in the church today is the fact that many are no longer doing this task which the Scriptures call us to. Many are no longer trying to restore their brothers and sisters when they see them falling into sin. And each person finds their own reason why not to act. Some are too disgusted with other people's sins to even talk to them. Others are sure that someone else will, or at least someone else should, be doing that task. Others release themselves from the responsibility of this task by telling themselves that, after all, it's that person's life, and they're free to do whatever they want. And the list of excuses goes on and on. Some are afraid their words might cause a rift in the relationship that they have with that person. Others have bought into the lie of our culture that teaches that loving someone means accepting whatever they do. And still others are simply too busy to ever stop and take time to go talk to one of their brothers or sisters about their life. And then on the flip side of the coin, and most tragically, it seems like in our world the only people that are actually out trying to rebuke those who are sinning seem to be the very ones who miss the last part of our verse. They are the ones who miss that our verse says that this work of rebuking and restoring is to be done with a spirit of gentleness. Most of the people that I see that are out rebuking sin are doing so with an iron hand and a self-righteous attitude. As Jamie and I were traveling home last week from Salina, we saw coming towards us the other way an RV where the whole bumper read in capital letters, "Repent." Go to any major city, and you can go to a street corner and find a preacher who will be preaching nothing but fiery hell and damnation. Fred Phelps, the famous preacher out of Topeka, is out picketing wherever he can with his church there holding up signs that read, "You're going to hell." Talk about not proceeding with a gentle spirit. And it's not just these type of crusaders that act this way. There are many people who, within their own realm of influence, tell people like their friends and their families that they are living in sinful ways, but who tell them that with such a loud and self-righteous attitude about them that they cannot even be heard. Yes, these kind of people tell others of their sins, reeking all the while of self-righteousness. The scriptures are clear that we must approach this task of restoring a brother or sister to the faith with two critical points in mind. First, we must go to this other person, the one who is walking in sin, as a fellow believer who also struggles with sin. We must go, even admitting that we could be dragged into that very sin that they are committing, if it were not for the grace of the Holy Spirit sustaining us. Yes, this work, this important work, must be done. But there is no room in this work for even the faintest hint of self-righteousness in this work. And secondly, as we go out to restore our brothers and sisters, we must go with the understanding that God's purpose in our going is not simply to rebuke the sinner, but to restore him. You see, God is not interested, the scriptures say, in the death of sinners, and neither can we be. We do not just go to this person in order to point out their sin, but we point out their sin in order that we might point also back again to their Savior, Jesus. Yes, we go with the hope that this person will be restored to the life that only Christ can give by His grace. Yes, each of us is to be out about the community of the church, restoring with gentleness, because indeed if each member does not take this task seriously, then even the most zealous pastor with endless energy cannot hope to keep watch over all the people. Not even the most committed group of elders can do it either. It is a task given to each one of us. You see, we all are a family formed by God in that font. And family ultimately is called to look out for one another. We are not to sit by as our brothers and sisters in Christ endanger their lives and their eternities. Or rather, we are to go to them and tell them humbly that their actions are simply not fitting of one who has been made clean by Jesus. We are to remind them of the life that they have been given to live. And we are to point them to the one who gives it. Yes, we go, just as God Almighty does, to these people, hoping that they will be restored. Restored to the family life that exists in the Christian church. Yes, people all around us who have been made clean by the blood of the Lamb in the waters of baptism are dirtying themselves. And some of us have simply been ignoring it. And for that, we must repent. And others of us have been trying to clean that dirt off of those people using the acid of self-righteous pride. And for that, we must repent as well. We must instead go to these people with a spirit of gentleness in order that in seeing the dirt that is upon them, they might turn again to the one who can make them clean. You see, Jesus was overwhelmed with joy the day that he got to welcome those people into his family at the baptismal font. And now he is just waiting each day for those people that are walking away from him to return to his gracious fold. For every step they take away from him pains him deeply. And that is why today he sends you and he sends me out to these people that are falling into sins. For it is his will that we would leave here today committed to be out restoring with gentleness our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is his will, because these people are not only our brothers and sisters, but they are his as well. And he desires again to have them back in his family. Amen. You're invited to rise. Then may God indeed open our mouths and fill our hearts with his Spirit, that we might restore those who are falling into sin with a gentle spirit. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.